We lived in Western New York at the time, and she was in Southern Missouri, so that would be back in the days of 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. That would be over 20 hours in the car straight. But when you got there, what delight and joy. What delight and joy there is in the house of the Lord today. And I believe he wants us to find delight in the journey as well. Now, it's pretty hard with four boys in a small car to have them stop slapping one another for 20 hours straight. Our God, he loves us and cares for us, and he delights in us just as we delight in him. So this morning, we're on the journey in his presence together, celebrating the wonder of his goodness. Amen. The wonder of his goodness. We'll pick off where we left off on Friday evening with Genesis chapter 12. Thank you all for being here this morning and celebrating this Lord's Day. For the early church, every Sunday was considered Easter. Every Sunday was little Easter because we celebrate he's alive. The tomb is empty. Put all the guards you want to in front of it. Some people are afraid the government's going to take away our right to worship. Can't be done. Cannot be done. Government gave you zero rights to worship. Only the king gave you the right to worship. And the king says, where I am, there you're going to be also. So, oh, we are free to worship him. Our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia don't have the outward freedom that you and I have, but they have freedom to worship him as well. We have brothers and sisters on death row this morning. There because of past crimes against others, but now baptized in the name of Jesus behind bars, awaiting for execution for past sins, but this morning they are free to worship. Why? Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't know that there are any murderers in the house, but most of us has probably called somebody a fool before. And according to Jesus' teaching on the sermon, if you call somebody a fool, that's right there with killing them. We all stand in need of his goodness and his grace, and that's why we have joy this morning, because we have the freedom of his presence and the freedom of his name. Amen. On Friday, we talked about the new day that was from above, looking at the genealogies showing God's faithfulness and preparation for a new thing. Preparation for a new thing. That takes us up to Abram in chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 is where we'll start, and we will read multiple places over the next number of chapters. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house and to a land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families, every family, every tribe, every language, those who eat sushi and those that don't, those that eat strange things out of the sea that you would not even touch. My wife doesn't understand why I like to eat things with suction cups on them. She says that just ain't right. He loves families that eat stuff with suction cups on them. He loves families of those that only eat grasses. Why? Because every family of the earth is to be blessed through this one. Aren't you glad today you're a family that's been blessed by an almighty God? Lord, we receive your blessings this day, which are abundant. We can't name them all. We can't count them all. Our basket is overflowing with blessings this day, oh Lord. And in that we worship and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. This morning, I'd like to preach a little bit on when God says hello. When God says hello, greetings across the world looks different from place to place. They say in Russia, men shaking hands with men, you're supposed to act like you're going to crush their knuckles. There are some places you kiss the person you're greeting on the cheek. There are other places you kiss them on the left cheek and on the right cheek. Then I think it was Greece or one of the other Mediterranean cultures where you kiss them on the left cheek, kiss them on the right cheek, and go back and kiss them on the left cheek again. Don't know about you, but that's way too much kissing for me. I know it's biblical. Paul says, greet your brother with a holy kiss. I don't know how to do that, so I will trust that we are still a saved people. I didn't kiss you this morning, brother, hopefully. As I saw you greeting each other today, I saw some nods, kind of like a Chinese culture. You would nod. I saw some of you give bear hugs to others. Two sisters over here, when they saw each other, they smiled real big and gave a hug. There are cultures that do that. Japanese culture, you greet someone, it's polite to do a bow thing, a nod thing. And of course, us Westerners, when we see them, we don't know when to stop. So we rock back and forth because we don't want to offend. And so they look at us like, you don't get it, do you? Greeting loved ones, greeting grandbabies, just to see a grandbaby see grandma and run into grandma's arms. What a greeting that is. Sometimes people have a greeting that says, how are you? And I have to calibrate. Does that mean hi? Or does that mean you want to hear my medical report? Generally, it's a hi. Every culture has some form of greeting. I am here this morning to let you know that God is here and He says, hello. He says, hello. In some cultures, it's okay to go like this when you're greeting. In other cultures, that means no. And in other cultures, that means come here. You have to know what those cultural norms are in those places where you visit. This morning, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is here, and He says, hello, hi, how are ya? I love you, I hug you, I shake your hand, I crush your knuckles, I kiss you on one cheek, second cheek, the third cheek. Whatever you need to know that God says hello, He's here doing that right now in His presence. You see, God chooses to say hello. It's His desire to be with humanity. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned? Scripture says God went looking for them, played hide and seek with them. Adam, Eve, where are you? I just wanted to come by this evening. You did some cataloging of creatures today. I just wanted to come by and see what names you came up with that funny one that I made with the long bill just out here at the water's edge. I just wanted to hear a report of what you've discovered. I wanted to hear the edge of the garden that you went to and you reclaimed some land there so that the creatures that I made would have more space and where future generations would live that would come from the two of you. I just wanted to say hi. I wanted a relationship with you. When you get on a subway in some places, you don't even look at the person in the eye, do you? Just kind of get on, and if somebody's looking at you too long, you start putting your hand on your wallet, clutching your purse inside, holding your kids close, because someone should not be staring at me like that. God this morning says, hello, because it's His ultimate quest to be in relationship with you. Not just here in His house as we worship together, but after a while when you get in the car and warm it up and drive home and find some lunch, you'll find that God is still there saying, hi, I still want to be in relationship with you. When you wake up in the morning, as you mentioned, brother, in that in-between sleep and awake state, God is there waiting to say, I couldn't wait for you to wake up because I wanted to be in relationship with you. I've been waiting for you to end your time of sleep so that you and I could walk through a brand new day. How many of you are not morning people? It's okay. Confess it. Just. Okay. I have a precious daughter that's that way. I love her dearly, but I know don't call her in the morning. That would be a foolish mistake. Call her any other time of the day, but the mornings aren't there. Our God knows your temperament. He knows how you're formed. He knows what you find delight. He knows the good reasons you delight and the ones that aren't so good. The not so good one, he calls you to abandon those. To Abram, he says, hi, Abram. You don't know it, but before the sun shined the first day, I was looking forward to today when I could say hello to you. As I saw the blob of the earth and I had to separate air from land and I separated the oceans from the continents, I had you on my mind. Hello, Abram. We finally get to talk. Brothers and sisters, this morning and those watching on Facebook later, I need you to know that the King of Kings and Lord of Glories from before the foundation was formed, he knows your name, he knows where you live, he knows you've been baptized in his name, and he knows that you love him. God says, hi, this morning. To Abram, he says, I need you to leave home. I need you to go to a place where I'm going to show you. Abram, I need you to open up your hands because I want to lay some blessings on you. His dad had just passed away. Scripture tells us, we looked at that a little bit on Friday. Leading up to Abraham, his dad had just passed away, perhaps some grief in his spirit. And now as a man about 75 years old, there's some longing in his heart because he doesn't have a child and he believes one of his servants are going to be his inheritors. But God says, hi, Abram, I know all about that. Before I can take care of that, I need you to step out and follow me. There might be someone here this morning or watching online that's the part you need to hear from God's hello. Come here. Come here. Now, as an observer of human behavior, I told you the other night that when I step into your home, my head's on a swivel. I can't help it. I just check out, you know, what kind of window treatment you got and, you know, how many clocks are in the living room, you know, and all those kind of, it's not that. They were still all at your house, Pastor Schumacher. I was there 4 hours, did not steal one of your clocks, even though I saw so many of them. But as an observer of human behavior, it's always interesting to me to see when two people meet, which one rushes to the other, which one holds their hand out like that, making the other person extend out really far. It's always interesting to observe those actions and those subtle nuances of who's going to take the step towards whom. I'm here to shake hands, but you got to take 3 steps before you can reach it, unless you have one of those rubber ones from the comic books. Our God, whose throne is the heavens, whose earth is his footstool, this morning has drawn so close to you. When he asks you to leave something and draw to him, he's asking you to take a baby step. He took the step of eternity as we celebrated in Christmas, leaving his home and glory and becoming human like you. He did the massive move, and now he says, hello, just take one baby step towards me. Now, tragically, sometimes I misinterpret God's call. Come out from among them and be you separate. Oh, God, that's a long way to go. Says, you want to compare? You want to compare who took a trip? You want to compare pains? I don't think any of us want to put our pain meter next to Jesus's pain meter. We don't want to put our sacrifices next to his sacrifices. Instead, we want to hear him say, "Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When he invites you to come and you feel like he's calling you to give up so much, he's calling you to give up those heavy burdens. Why is it I want to hold on to my burdens? Why is it I want to bring all my burdens to Jesus and keep holding them? Jesus is saying, "Come to me. Abram, I know you lost your daddy, and I know that you're childless, and you've given up any hope of having any descendants that are from you biologically. But before I can do any of that, Abram, I got another question for you, will you? Will you come?" This morning, God says, "Hi. Would you just run to his open arms?" Is it hard? What is it in your life right now that hinders taking a step towards the God who took an eon of steps towards you and me? What is it that holds me back? What fear, what trepidation, what pain of being seen by others? What sense of the unknown hinders you? Abram said, "If you'll say hi to me, God, I will follow you." Well, Lord, if you would give me the 365-page manual for 2022, I would be glad to take each step of the day. Because I know if I take, now we're on day two, if I take steps in day two, and I already know what steps on day 15 and day 30 and day 145 and day 365 is going, I could do so. But Abram was told, just start walking to a place where I'm going to show you. In this room right now are men and women of faith who, if you will say yes to the God who says hello, 2022 is going to be a year of radical transformation in you. I can't tell you this morning all the things he's going to change. I can just tell you that it will be worth it, responding to God's hello. Verse number 4 lets us know Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot was with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He simply responded. He obeyed. People say it's so hard to serve God. No, it's not. It's just to say hi back to his hi. He's reached out his hand, which is nail-pierced, for you. All you've got to do is make a step towards him. James put it this way, if you would draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. And you say, "Well, Brother Lewis, it sounds like you have to make the first step." Oh, no. He's the one who already is telling you, "I'm close enough for you to hear my voice. Just take a step towards me, and I'll take every step necessary to fill the gap, because it's my desire to be in relationship with you and to bless you so much the world's going to have to ask, where'd your smile come from? Where'd the spring in your step come from? Where's the source of your delight? I'll tell you where it comes from. My joy comes from the Lord. My peace comes from the Prince of Peace. My hope comes from the ultimate hope giver, and the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And they are going to wonder, "Can I have that too?" And you're going to say, "Oh yeah, all you got to do is say hi back to God." It is so easy to say hi to a God like that. He wants to bless us so that we can bless others in that way. The story advances in chapter number 15 as God formalizes the covenant with Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not." Now, sometimes Getting close to God can be a frightful experience. Every time the resurrected Lord appeared in a crowd, his first words were, "Peace be unto you." Imagine what would happen if you showed up at home this afternoon and unlocked your door and ran in and closed it quickly and kicked that little cozy back underneath the door to keep the cold from blowing through, and you turned around and there Jesus was sitting on your lazy boy. I don't think you would have anything to say. You would stand there in awe that Jesus had chosen to sit on. I don't know if you'd ever sit on your lazy boy after that. I think you would put one of those cords around it and said, "Don't sit here. Jesus has sat here." Do you realize that Jesus is here right now? He's saying hi to you. I want a relationship with you in 2022 that you did not even dream possible. And that's why I'm here this morning to say hi to you. Abram had left Ur, and now the word of the Lord comes to him again in a vision, says, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. I am your protector. I am your sustainer. I am your hope giver." And Abram's got this nagging thing in the back of his head. "I don't want a protector. I want a boy. I don't want a reward. I want a boy." How are you, Abram? "I don't have a boy." "How have you enjoyed your walk this month?" "Fine, but I don't have a boy." "Did you enjoy the way I've provided for you?" "Yeah, but I don't have a boy." He has a one-track mind and it's narrowed down to bicycle path. Because it doesn't matter how good God is if God doesn't give me what I want when I want. I can't hear God's blessing. I'm here this morning to let you know God says hi. Your response shouldn't be, "But I don't have a job. Or I need a better job. Or my back hurts. Or I got an earache still. Or you remember that thing I've been praying for 97 years, you didn't give it to me." Wrong response. When God says hi, the right thing to do is say hi right back at you. When God says hi, you say, "Woo, I didn't know this was a day I got to hang out with Jesus. I didn't know that this was a day that you would talk to me. I didn't know that this was a day that you would touch my life." But you know what I usually do when God says hi? I say, "Yeah, but you didn't." Someone compliments me on my shoes. You know what my job is? Look a little closer at them and find something to say, "Oh, that's cool." Why? Because that's the right thing to do. The wrong thing to do is someone says, "Oh, nice shoes." So, yeah, of course they look good on me. Everything does. I found there's some people I can't compliment them on things they have because they'll take them off and give them to me. I have to learn who those folks are. When Jesus says, "Hi," that smile that's on your face when you're in my presence, that looks so good on you. "I took you through something last month, and you wondered why I had you there. But now that I said hi, and you didn't ask me to fix it, you just wanted to have a conversation with me. I just want you to know that peace looks good on you. I could solve it all and I could fix it all, but then we wouldn't have a relationship. I'd be an ATM machine for you. I would be the Amazon truck with a smile on the side. You would go out on the front porch and grab your blessing every day. You didn't want a relationship." I'm here this morning to let you know God says hi, and the response is, I didn't know we would get to talk today. I didn't know I would feel your mercy and your love and your blessings in such a dimension today. Abraham says, Lord God, what are you going to give me? I don't have a child. Steward of my own house, this Eliezer of Damascus, he's going to inherit. Abraham said, behold, to me, you've given me nothing that really matters. The Lord so graciously hears us when we complain. I'm thankful that He has an ear that is not stopped up just because I've complained. I wish I could say once, twice. If I count the days since I was baptized in His name in 1967 and until now, I've had to have complained at least 1,000 times. God still says, Jim, hi. Hi, Jim. Are you a worshiper today or a complainer today? I just need to know who I'm talking to. Because I know sometimes you're Jim the worshiper, but sometimes I get Jim the complainer. So who am I talking to today, Jim? Because when I hear your voice, when I hear your response to my hello, I know how to call you to the next step. When I'm Jim the complainer, the call to the next step is to abandon my short-term needs to God's long-term provision, because later in this chapter he says, I'm going to bring your whole clan out of Egypt. After 400 years, I'm going to bring millions out of Egypt land once the sin and the iniquity of the folks that are there are done. But meanwhile, he says, Abram, you and I need to get into a deeper kind of relationship. So he calls him in the middle of the chapter to put together some cattle, some sacrifices. You see, when you meet Jesus, you automatically want to give something to him. Did any one of you over Christmas get a gift from someone at work and you didn't have a gift from them? A gift from a cousin that you weren't aware of that they were getting? How frustrating that is. I know some people that have 3 extra gifts in their closet just in case someone gifts them when they didn't know they were getting a gift. Brothers and sisters, we have already been gifted by the Master in an unmeasurable dimension. It is nothing what he asks us as a quote-unquote sacrifice in return. Just like my children, when they would buy me a Father's Day present back when they were kids. Anyone want to guess where the money came from? It was out of my wallet that the princess swiped out of my wallet to take the kids to the store to buy me something. That's no sacrifice. And of course, I received it with delight and joy because it came from my children. Brothers and sisters, when God asks of you something and you give it to Him, it came out of His wallet, not yours. Everything you got came from above. Every good gift you have came from above. The only thing that belongs to you is the not good gifts. Your doubt, that didn't come from above. Your anxiety, not from above. The sacrifices that you give that He didn't give you first, those are the gifts you want to get rid of. Abram, would you bring me a cow? Would you bring me a goat? Would you bring me a ram and a turtle dove and a pigeon? And would you slice these things in half? Picture it, 75-year-old man out there after a conversation with God and he's wrestling with a cow. Pulling the cow to the ground, slicing his throat, and then he's got to get out the hacksaw. He can't cut off the legs and cut off the neck. He's got to slice the critter down the middle. And then the 75-year-old man's got to get a hold of the cow and heave one piece on one altar and grab the other cow and heave it on the other altar, pant for about 30 minutes, grab a goat, repeat the process. Catch some birds, put one on one stack and one on the other stack. And you think God asks us to do something. And then he has to wait a while and said, you said hello, you're listening to me even though I'm complaining. You ask for a sacrifice. That's typically what's going to happen. When we complain to God, God's going to ask for something from us to get our mind off of our bicycle one path thing so he can show us the boulevard of blessings he wants to give us so we can bless the world. In the night hour, Abram's still standing between these two altars, and the buzzards come now. So now the 75-year-old man has got to grab his extra jacket and start shooing the buzzards away. What ugly critters they are. You've seen them, just as ugly as all get out. They have smelt the bird. As he was cutting the cow in half, they're circling above his head. As he's chasing the goat and he's chasing the pigeons and trying to capture them, those buzzards are getting closer and closer and closer. As he's huffing and puffing and he sets on a rock and he begins to lose a little bit of energy, those buzzards land on his altar. But Abraham, by this point, has shifted off what his complaint was and shifted on. God asked me to do something, which means God's about to show up in a brand new dimension. If God ever asks anything from you, it's because he wants to say hi in a brand new dimension. But things will come to try to rob your blessings away and steal your sacrifice away. You just got to stay awake long enough to beat the buzzards back. And about the seventh or eighth time he had to beat the buzzards back, the scripture tells us that God came through. Verse number 17, came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace, burning lamp passed between these pieces. Hi, Abraham. Unto you and your seed I've given this whole land, and the river of Euphrates to the great river, Egypt to Euphrates. I've given you all these places. Abraham, you are worried about one. I still have a mind set on a nation. Whatever your complaint to God is today is small in comparison to God's blessings that he has in store for you. But if you won't walk into the place of sacrifice, he can't get the crisis out of your mind so you can receive the blessing. I'm wondering if 2022 we can say hi to God and say, God, would you ask me for something? I spent 2021 asking stuff for you. Can I turn this around this morning, Lord Jesus? Would you ask of me something? Because as soon as I give you something to you, I know you're going to show up in a brand new dimension. A new light source is going to come my way. New revelation is going to come my way. That's what God wants to do for you in 2022. What an amazing God we serve. 25 years and the promises still haven't come. And both Abraham and Sarah have laughed. And in Genesis chapter 18, Genesis 18, verse 13 through 14, I skipped a couple of the texts. Techie people back there. Genesis 18, this has already been referenced in our service this morning. Genesis 18, verse number 13 and 14 is, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, at the time I have set, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Brothers and sisters, when God says hello, our response has to be faith. Why? Because God's hello includes promises beyond your capacity. God's blessings are beyond your ability to even see, much less achieve. All the stuff that you have achieved already is nothing compared to what God wants to do in 2022. He has a purpose and a design and a plan because he's covenanted with all of his creation that every family is going to be blessed. I dare say this morning, there are some in your neighborhood that have not yet been blessed. I dare say this morning, there's some folks you work with or go to school with or where you go shopping. They've not been yet blessed by an almighty God. But if we will walk in a dimension with the Lord, which requires faith, they will receive a blessing out of the abundance of blessings we have. So this morning, regardless of what your presenting problem or your need might be, would you let God lay a request on you? Would you do this as an act of worship to me? Would you surrender that to me? Because I need to get your mind turned from what you think you need. And I need to get it turned into thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want heaven shaped change in your life. I don't want to answer your small request. I want to explode your request into heaven-shaped requests, but I can't do that until you bring a sacrifice to me so I can get your mind over into the dimension I would have it to go. He gets a child, as you know, Genesis chapter 22, when that child is probably late teens or early 20s. Verse 1, came to pass that after these things, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, hi. Hi. Okay. God said hi again. Is it time to leave? Is it time to sacrifice? Is it time to stop laughing and start believing? God said hi. This morning, I need you to know God's saying hi. And our response should be, I wonder what he wants to say this time. I'm not going to come in fear because God loves me and cares for me. Like they used to say in the army, you can hear bullets going, but if you hear it, that one wasn't yours. If he says hi to you, it's not to slam you, to destroy you, or to grind you into the ground. It's because he's questing for a closer relationship with you. If you feel him here this morning, or if you didn't feel him here this morning, I'm here to let you know God says, hi. Abram, this time, instead of saying, I just have one son, he just says, here I am. What a dimension of maturation's happened in Abraham's life. I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to quit asking what's next. I'm just going to say, like Samuel's going to have two generations later, hi, I'm here. I'm wondering, is there anybody in the house here this morning that your spirit's been twisted, turned a little bit towards this God that's saying hi, and you're ready to say, Lord, here I am. Is there anyone in the house? You may have come with a need. You might have come with an expectation. But now your spirit is ready to say, Lord, I'm here. I had some things I wanted to do, but since you said hi, the best thing I can say in return is, hello, I am here. Speak to me. And the Lord said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get to the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. What must a confusing moment that had been. What a confusing moment, not only to lose the blessings, but the horror of a human sacrifice. This morning, God will ask you to do some things, perhaps checking you out a little bit to see if you know how to say hi back to him. Abraham, he took a path. Verse number 5. Abram said unto his young men, I notice he didn't even go talk to Sarah. This one's between me and the gods that said hi. I don't know if Mama could handle if God wanted her to know this one, sometimes he tells me to tell her, but this one, if God wanted her to know, he would have told her. So I'm just going to sneak out, the boy and I and a couple servants, carried sticks. They made a few days' journey. Verse number 5, he says to the young men, you just stay here with the donkey a little while. I and the lad, we're going to go and we're going to worship. And we are going to come again. God has been saying hello to me, Abraham is saying, for the last 50 years. My life has had numbers of hello opportunities from God. And by this place, I've learned one thing. I'm going to trust him. I'm wondering, Church of Racine, have you walked with the Lord long enough that when he says hello, you just say, be it unto me, O Lord, according to your word. I don't understand, but I don't have to understand. We're going to go and we're going to do it. And then the boy and I, we're going to come back again. We're going to come back again. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called Abram out of the heaven in the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, says Yahweh, because you have done this thing and has not withheld thy son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Brothers and sisters, the promise that he received here is the same promise that he heard in chapter 12. The promise that was given at his initial call, hello from God, didn't change, but now he had a capacity to grasp the new dimensions of that early promise. Do you remember when you received the Holy Ghost? Do you remember when you were baptized in his name? Do you remember when he healed you in the past? God's plan has not changed one bit. But if you'll take one more step and say, hello, God, here I am. Speak unto me. I'm listening unto you. He's going to reiterate his blessings. And he's going to share it again and bring it to pass in a brand new way. God has already presented himself to us in our covenant. John tells us that grace and truth came by Jesus. John chapter 3 says that we can be born again of both water and of the Spirit. And when we're born of the water and the Spirit, we not only get to see the kingdom, but we get to walk in kingdom-shaped places. 2022 is a kingdom-shaped walk. 2022 is not a walk of despair. 2022 is a kingdom walk. 2022 is a royal path for a holy priesthood to walk boldly in faith to what God has in front of us. And how are we going to do so? We're going to do so by responding to the God who says hi. Hi in relationship. Hi in covenant with us. And we've accepted that name. If you've been baptized in water and spirit, then you have eyes to see and feet to walk in the kingdom. I said on Friday night, COVID is not the big news of 2021 nor 2022. Midterm elections in 2022 are not the big news for you and me. The big news is what kingdom steps do I get to take in 2022? What's this journey going to look like? How am I going to hold my brothers and sisters that go through a crisis moment? How am I going to support them as they go through a time of need, sharing out of my resources? And how am I going to receive resources from my brothers and sisters as God leads us as one people into kingdom-shaped dimensions? There are some royal shaped dimensions in front of you. We've been worrying about the enemy that's around us. And the prophet says, would you go and look one more time? Because there's some stuff outside of the range of your enemy that's far greater than anything you can see. You think the enemy has an army? Open your eyes and see my army that is around them. And when you see my army that's greater than that which is against you, if I be for you, who can be against you? If you see my army, you will not ask for vengeance against your enemies. Elisha doesn't ask for a sword to slay. He asked for them to be blinded long enough so he could feed them. They came with blood in their eyes to destroy. And his prayer to God was, after you open the eyes of my servant, close the eyes of my enemy, because I want to feed them. I'm going to take them to the royal city. I'm going to take them inside the walls of the city. And I'm going to have the dinner spread in front of them, and then you can open their eyes to recognize I'm not here to destroy anybody. I'm here to pass out that bread, because I have experienced the bread of life, and there's more than enough to share. Brothers and sisters, this year, the crises in front of you are just to get your eyes open a little bit wider to the fiery angels, which are far and beyond anything that you've already seen. And to give you the faith to ask for the closed eye of your enemy so you can take them to places where you can feed them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How beautiful that he prepares a place for us in the presence of our enemy. But the prophet Elisha went further than the ancient King David did. The prophet Elisha said, in the presence of my enemy, I will feed my enemy. 2021, we spent too much time making sure we were being fed in the presence of threat. And I'll talk about this some more tonight. 2022 is turning it around. Lord, you have already lavishly blessed us. And now we've got enough to share with our enemy so that they can be blessed as I've been blessed. Because that's why you baptized me. That's why you said hello to me in the Holy Spirit, so that I could bless my enemy. Let's stand together, shall we? In conclusion, let's read that powerful passage that Jesus gave. Acts chapter number 1, as he gave to those as they started going back to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. This is the last thing they heard from the mouth of Jesus physically. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up. Brothers and sisters, 2022 is about saying hello to the Jesus who's saying hello to you, because he's got a witness plan in front of you. Some of you have been praying for your family for years. This is the season in which he wants you to take those steps of faith, and he will give you the words to say. You've been going to your job as a way to provide for your family, but now he's wanting you to open your eyes and say, how can I be a blessing to those on the job? Instead of trying to get a promotion, how can I promote others? Instead of fighting for my rights, how can I care for the rights of somebody else? Instead of storming heaven's portals with a need for me, how can I cry out in intercession for a need for somebody else? That's 2022, and Jesus says, hello this morning. So what do we do with this God that says hello? The first thing to do is say, here I am. Answer his call. If you've not been baptized, if you've not repented or been baptized, then this is a good day to do so. I think we could find some water around here, Pastor. If you've already been baptized and not yet received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is God's confirming his covenant deal with you, commissioning you for his purposes and his design. If you've already received water and spirit baptism, then would you just believe and put all of your blessings back in his hand? Lord, here's my breath. Lord, here's my family. Lord, here's my life. Lord, here's my resources. Here's my job. Here's my dreams. Everything I've got, I put it in your hands, oh Lord. The next step to respond to the God that says hi is just take a walk and believe that he who called you is blessing you to bless someone else. Jesus is saying hi this morning. Is there anyone that will come in affirmation of saying, Lord, I want you to know I'm here. I'm here. Is there anyone that wants to come with a simple, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here, Jesus. I heard your voice. I'm here. I'm here. I've got a nagging worry left over from 2021. Would you put a sacrifice call on me? If I've got a nagging worry from yesterday, would you put a sacrifice call on me? Because I got to detangle from my worry about the small so I can receive your blessings about the large. Lord Jesus, right now in your name, those who need to receive a sacrifice call, I ask you to speak it right now to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Jesus' name I pray. If you have a nagging need from 2021, raise your hand right now and say, Lord, put a sacrifice call on me. What do you want me to give? Is it my finances? Is it my energy? Is it caring about something else? Is it surrendering my need? Whatever it is you want me to sacrifice, I give it up right now to you, O Lord. You said hi to me. And all I know to do is say hi right back to you. You gave everything for me. All I know to do is say hi back to you and surrender all my life back to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Jesus' name I pray. And now I ask Racine Church as a whole, people of an almighty God, will you let Jesus bind you together in 2022 for a kingdom journey that builds on all of your yesterday's steps but takes you further than you've ever gone before? You've taken steps yesterday and the day before, and maybe like me, you've taken steps for more than 50 years. But I want you to know that Jesus is here this morning, Racine Church, and he's saying hi. Will you, as one people, will you bind together and say, oh Lord, here we are. Call us into 2022 with the kingdom steps you have in front of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name we pray.